started with tonight's episode of House Call. You know, unfortunately, this is America. And we're going to ride that topic. But before we get into that topic, those of you guys that are coming in, we do appreciate it. Thank you so very much for joining. But again, congratulations are in order. Steve, what you got going on, man?
I'm looking around to do a midlife career change, career path change. And so I started applying to schools for master's programs. This one was clinical counseling. For instance, it would be like psychotherapy for mental health concerns concerning addiction, or the field could be marriage counseling, or just one-on-one dealing with problems counseling, you know. So hoping that one day I can start a practice, something like that. But I got accepted into a school today, and I'm going to work on a few more schools to try to have them compete to win my attendance. So we'll see about that. But so making moves, you know.
Definitely, definitely. Well, congratulations on that. D, what's up? How you doing tonight, sir? Thanks for joining us. Those of you that are coming in, again, like, share, invite somebody in, drop a comment, let us know you're here. But we're going to go ahead and get started tonight. Unfortunately, this is America, and it's definitely not the most positive topic by any stretch of the imagination. You know, some things happening in Texas, definitely disturbing, to say the least, and downright disgusting, in my opinion. And, you know, I mean, it is what it is. But, again, D, Xander, Alex, thanks for joining. So we have Haitians, right? Haitian migrants that were seeking asylum. And in the infinite wisdom of the Border Patrol, they felt that it was best to run them down on horseback, whipping them with the reins from the horses. And there's also been reports that, you know, actual whips. I don't know about that. I've seen pictures of with the reins from the horses, but either way, not something that should be acceptable, especially when seeking asylum is legal, you know. And one of the things that, you know, I mentioned before we started recording is the fact that, you know, everybody wants to talk about all these illegal immigrants and undocumented migrants and, you know, this type of thing. And they always focus on the border to the south, but they fail to pay attention to the almost 600 undocumented Canadians that are here in the country. And apparently nobody has any problem with that. You know, biggest difference between the majority of that number and the group of Haitians is very simply the color of their skin. To me, you can't justify it. You can't justify it. Michelle, what's up? Thanks for joining. It's utterly disgusting. There's definitely other ways to address and handle it. That should not have been the way to address it. And you look at some of the pictures and you see some of the facial expressions of these Border Patrol agents, and you can almost see joy in their facial expressions with what they're doing. That's a huge problem. I know that Department of Homeland Security did say that there was going to be a swift investigation, to address it. But the fact that it even happened at all, you know, I just can't get down with. Now, you know, spending the amount of time that I have, you know, in New York City, whatever, you know, mounted police aren't uncommon, you know. So to me, the mounted police officer aspect of it, you could almost make an argument for that, but the way they utilized those mounted officers, or those mounted officers chose to act, is a massive problem. And I think the reaction from a lot of the public, or lack of reaction, spotlights a huge problem that still exists in this country that for whatever reason we want to pretend doesn't exist. You know, so I don't know. What are you guys' thoughts on that? No, I hear you.
It's crazy because there's always got to be some type of division when it comes to asylum. There's always been like this problem. Like if you don't meet this criteria, you can't come in here. But your country is basically down in shambles. But they say, oh, go ahead and support your country when there's nothing to support. We ran that country down ourselves. Don't nobody want to say nothing, but we ran that country down ourselves. In the United States, we did it ourselves from a distance, financially and economically. That's how we did it. They'll never say nothing about it. So we owe it to anybody that we sit there and, you know what I'm saying? We owe it to any and everybody that comes over here and asks for asylum, we owe it to them. We owe them to it. We owe them that. We surely do. I mean, there's so much that a person can take, especially when you have a family, when you have things that you want to, you know, take care of and protect, and you can no longer just because of the fact that such and such happened because of politics. It's crazy.
I have no idea why we would not be willing to assist with these people who are, from what I read, some of them aren't even coming here from just the most recent natural disaster. Some of them they left 10, I don't know, there was an earthquake in 2010. They left then, got to South America, and now they're just getting up here now. But regardless of that, they're coming here for help, and interestingly enough, you said something about politics. From what I read, the Biden administration is utilizing some Trump rules for immigration in order to do what they are doing. And so It just goes to show that, as you named the title of this episode, this is America.
This is not the
right wing that's doing things like this. Well, it is. This is not the left wing that is doing things like this. This is our government in total. Mm-hmm. The whole damn thing is corrupt, does not care about people, only cares about power and money, and it's evidenced by this particular situation, but every situation that's occurred recently when it comes to taking care of people. Not just Americans, but people. So, I don't know how anyone can take sides. Even apart from the situation, anyone can take sides and say that one group of people in politics is more good for society than another when all of them are corrupt and treat people like pawns and chess pieces.
It's two wings on the same bird. You know, we've had that conversation several times before.
Yeah.
But, you know, you talk about like the cages that are used, and you hear the shifting of blame, you know, and it was like it was instituted by one administration, utilized by another administration, continued with another administration. Like, none of them are free of blame, you know. And we can offer asylum and a system for what is it, like 92,000 Afghans, but we can't do that for a few hundred Haitian migrants. You know, we can allow upwards to 600,000 undocumented individuals from Canada to come over, but you know, they're not the problem. It's only the ones coming through the south of the border that's the problem. Those are the ones we need to focus on. Like, the level of bias and ignorance and you know, at this point, it's almost not even, it's not an acceptable ignorance, if I can say that. You know, it's not decisions or actions that are due based to a lack of knowledge or exposure. At this point, people are just blatantly choosing to say and do the things that they're doing. And our government, you know, being the top of the pyramid, so to speak, in that regard, it's very frustrating. You know, it's very frustrating when you have people that are very close to you that are from these different, you know, ethnic backgrounds and different nationalities. And it's, you know, you sit back and you want to make a difference. And sometimes that can be very difficult. It can be very frustrating. And so a lot of us, when we want to make a difference in our life, we have a tendency to turn to our faith. That has even become a problem. Because what people are claiming to believe doesn't even line up with what they say they believe. And, you know, it's frustrating. You know, there was here locally, and, you know, it's what we're going to, you know, address it, you know, the local issue or topic, but it's a symptom of what is happening on a larger scale. You know, and myself personally being involved in ministry as long as I have, not that it's been a terribly long time, but it's been long enough to, you know, build a, you know, exposure and even with some relationship with people of various faiths, various, you know, churches and ministries across the country and internationally. But you know, we here locally, we had a pastor that decided to make statements from the pulpit and things to the effect of, you know, and I apologize if I'm not quoting directly or exactly, but, you know, the statement was, you know, to the effect of gay marriage is outside the government of God, Muslims are outside the government of God, definitely disparaging comments towards anyone that calls themselves a Democrat, you know, made statement to the effect of, you know, if you go to Olean, you get free lunches, you get free breakfast, you know, that's because of a spirit of poverty, you know, has come into the home and proceeded to talk about how it's an agenda to make people not want to work. Which blows my mind, because if the church feeds you, that's okay. But if you get fed from school, it's a socialist agenda that the Democrats are trying to push. Like, the level of ignorance is ridiculous. And the people that jump behind that, and here you are, you're supposed to be a, you know, a middle school principal, and you're definitely not creating a safe place for diversity. But I can't say that really surprises me at the high school when we have a mayor in this city that currently openly says we don't even follow the policies we have in place. You know, so the whole area, there's so many problems, so many issues that are here. And it's a symptom of a larger problem, because this particular pastor, this particular church, they're not isolated. It's not an isolated event. You know, by any stretch of the imagination. Statements to the effect of, well, you shouldn't be sick. You shouldn't have diabetes. You shouldn't have cancer. You know, you're a believer. You shouldn't. Well, I'm pretty sure there's a passage of scripture, one in particular, that talks about by his stripes we are healed, from a Christian perspective, from the Christian Bible, right? So if that's the case, at some point there's going to be sickness. That's just a logical conclusion. You know, and the level of ignorance that spews, like we talked last week, you know, or the last show, about how just because you're a preacher doesn't make you a subject matter expert on anything. Even scripture.
Say that one more time, Gary. Say that one more time, please.
Just because you're a preacher, just because you're a pastor, does not mean you're a subject matter expert on anything.
That's my next post.
It just doesn't. And I don't know. I know I'm kind of rambling on, but it's frustrating to me because, you know, my faith is very central to my belief and to my how I live my life. But at the same time, I understand that if I can't express and walk out love to the people that are different than me, that the people that believe differently than me, if I can't create a safe environment, then I can never be a positive influence in their life in any aspect. I can't, you know? And I remember I got asked a question when I first started talking about running for mayor. Somebody asked me what my stance on abortion was. And I said, well, first of all, it doesn't really matter, to be perfectly honest, because as a local city mayor, my view on abortion has no impact. Mm-hmm. You know? And we have to, I don't know, I'll let you guys talk a little bit and then I'll ramble on. I could honestly keep going. But I also want to get into what happened at the school board meeting this last week from the actions of another pastor as well. So as we get into that.
So I've got some opinions. I've got some information I've been keeping track of. Two main points I want to come to the point of, and one of them piggybacks off of yours. I made a post earlier this week concerning the topic in general. So let me say this to everyone listening. I know not all of you are Christians, not all of you are religious, or even theists. This may not pertain to you, but hopefully it may enlighten you. If from what I read in the Bible, and what I know of Christ's life, if people don't make love the central love of God and love of neighbor, love of people, humanity, if they don't make love the central aspect of their lives, central aspect of their words, the central aspect of their mission, the central aspect of their careers, the central aspect of how they relate to God and to the world, they're operating apart from the spirit of the God that I know. And this is a situation where there is an oppressed group of people in this country, and usually we are talking about African Americans on the show in that regard. This time I'm specifically talking, and the pain that is being created in the town you're talking about is in the LGBTQ+ community.
Mm-hmm.
Muslims should also be offended by what this pastor said, because he also said terrible things about them. But there's a group of people in Olean, in particular children in that community, who have leaders not in their churches, which he is also, but in their schools, public schools.
Yep.
Okay? And so, first of all, the LGBTQ+ community already knows that Christian churches, and I'm going to say it, for the most part, are not operating in love in their community.
That's right.
Currently. Okay? Which is making me want to cry right now, still, every time I talk about it, because
shows how much you care about your faith, brother. That's what it is. And how much you care about the people.
Sorry.
That shows a lot.
It's the people.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It is. And school should be a safe place. Church should be a safe place. And it's not. You know, and not negating your guys' comments. I apologize that we're not hitting each comment that's coming up, but I am seeing them. But Dax and I were talking before we got on the show. You know, with him being a Muslim, me being Christian, that if we sat down and have a conversation about our beliefs as far as salvation is concerned, heaven and hell. Based on what I believe, Dax isn't going to heaven. based on what Dax believes, I'm not going to heaven.
Right.
You know? But I don't belittle or demean him for his belief. I don't create a hostile environment. You know, I don't create a unsafe place. I don't make it difficult for him to live and to thrive. It's not my job to force my faith on him. I've said it before and I'll continually say it, that, you know, there's nothing about Christianity that's forced. You know, and I mean, these types of things, you know, in this area, not just this area, but in a lot of the quote-unquote Christian churches, the charismatic, the Pentecostal denominations, you know, they want to attack Democrats, and they want to attack these young people that are trying to find themselves and discover who they are. They're trying to attack the LGBTQ plus community. They're trying to attack Muslims, like bully them and blatantly, aggressively attack them. And, you know, they'll do that, but then they'll let somebody that's sleeping with their second or third baby mama mount the pulpit on the weekend. Or, you know, someone who can't be faithful to their wife maintain and continue to push. Like, listen, if we gonna go after these things, if we gonna address these things, we need to address them all. And not one of us is flawless. I don't care what your belief system is. I don't care, you know, what your level of education is or experience, or every one of us, especially us on this show, man, we are flawed. Each one of us are flawed, and we don't talk about these subjects and these conversations from a position of, you know, we're better than, or we know more, or we're more righteous than the next person. But seriously, it is difficult and painful, especially, you know, I mean, clearly, visibly with Steve, I get angry, you know, but as a minister, as a preacher, you know, there was a preacher that showed up at the school board this last week here in Olean that was acting like he was 10 years old and throwing a temper tantrum. Definitely not a representation of what my Bible says a Christian should behave, how they should behave. And to the point where you can leave a teenage girl in tears because of your action. Like, it's not acceptable. And the fact that so many people get behind preachers like this talking about, oh, it's religious freedom. No, it's bigoted hate is what it is. It's hate. It's not, you can't minister to somebody if that's how you're acting.
So, if I can piggyback
off, yeah, go ahead, I'm sorry.
While I can talk. My whole point of this was that there are, in the town of Olean, and multiply that by millions and billions of people, there are people, that young people, that are literally just trying to find love however they can. And in this particular situation, the religious sector, and in my opinion, not love based sector of the Christian church in Olean has attempted to usurp power and authority in the public sector in a way that is not based on love, and evidenced by multiple churches and preachers, creating a situation of dissonance and discord, not just in church, but also in the public high school. And the problem with this is listening to those young people the next day, or it may have been the same day.
Tuesday night and Wednesday, the young people decided to make a statement, which
speaking
very
out
proud
front
of them.
And hearing them talk, yes, I heard them seeking love, but also I heard a fire of something that wasn't love in them. Because they're mad, they're pissed off that the school system would let this would continue to allow this to happen, and not keep the peace at the public school board meeting, so that the people who pay taxes in the town can actually represent themselves to the people who are in charge of the people who are in charge of their children. It's just very sad. It's very scary that this situation was allowed to turn into what it was.
Yeah.
When all most people are looking for is love and relationships, affirming that we are all on a journey in life, making our choices. There's no reason for bigotry. There's no reason to not have a gentle and loving discord amongst one another, even if we disagree.
Exactly.
There's no reason why this all had to happen. And the pastors in Olean should know better. They've been operating in the church for since I was a child. Okay? Some of them I looked up to. And regardless of that, it's the kids that I am sad for. Because I don't know what they're going to do now. I can tell you they can message me. Okay? They can message us. There are people out there that do want to show love to whoever they can. And even if we don't agree on every topic, even if you don't agree with my lifestyle, I can listen to you and I can hear your pain, and I do not want you thinking that people hate you or that suicide is an option.
That's right. I was going to say that I don't think that the leaders in several of these local churches or in the school system understand the impact that their words and their action has, but I can't say that. You can't be that ignorant to think that it doesn't have an impact on your community, that it doesn't have an impact on the young people in the community. And, you know, it's interesting to me. And again, you guys, I promise, we're not trying to ignore the comments that you guys are putting up. We appreciate it. Alex, Danny. And, you know, Danny, unfortunately, can't be with us tonight. Wasn't feeling well, but I hope you get feeling better. But, you know, when Dee, I said, you know, the other day or the last show that I got to see Dee in action and, you know, him doing what he does. And it really floored me the way he maintained his demeanor in the situation was really impressive. And when this gentleman talks about, you know, his role as a police officer and what police officers should be, you know, in reference to like school resource officers or how they should handle people in the community. The man walks out what he talks. And the fact that what is being walked out by a faith that has been central in my life for so many years is so negative and causing so much hatred and pushing people away, and it's under the guise of religious freedom and all this other foolishness. Like, most of the people, they don't even understand what they believe. They just blindly follow. And because it sounds good, because it fits their thought process and their agenda, and, you know, or because they like the way the person preaches or, you know, whatever. And then you have individuals, you know, like what happened Tuesday night, the local pastor that went to the school board meeting, he and I want to say it was his wife and another person. I wasn't there.
So.
What's that?
I don't think so. It was two other ladies.
Yeah, there were two ladies. I didn't know if they were related to him or not, but there were two other ladies. There was him and, you know, I believe it was one of the, you know, I think it was Leo, was trying to speak, and they were shouting over top of him and not letting him speak. And, you know, then I guess there was an incident afterwards as well. And it's like, you know, you're not a good representation of who Christ is in Scripture, you know. And you can stand at the pulpit and you can knock these kids for getting some food in their stomach, you know, as if that's a problem and it's some kind of an agenda to usurp. And like, come on, man, pull your head out your fourth point of contact, because it's ridiculous. You know, it's okay for you to feed them if it's coming from the church, but it's not okay for them to go to school and get breakfast before school and make sure they got some lunch. You know, at this point, what's it about? Is it about your tax-exempt status and the money that you're getting? You know, what else you can build? What else you can beat your chest on about, oh, this is what my church did? Or are you actually trying to help people? And, you know, at this point, you can't tell me you're trying to help people when all you're doing is hating people. I don't care if they think like you or believe like you or not. You know, I constantly say it. My faith is central to the way I walk out my life, but I don't do everything right, first of all. Yeah, that's the first thing. I'm very flawed, and I slip, you know, I slip and I slip and then I'm slipping and, you know, all this type thing. And, you know, it's ridiculous that I'm not going to pull my personal faith-based beliefs and force it into the city if I'm elected mayor. Like, that's foolish, because I don't represent, not everybody I represent is Christian. Not everybody I represent is you know, it's a very diverse situation, so it has to be a safe place for a diverse group of people. Our schools should be just that, and clearly they're not. They're not, and that's not okay. That's a problem. And the fact that the school system allowed what happened, to happen on Tuesday, it was awful. You know, I mean, I don't get it. I don't understand the mindset of these so-called Christians today. Like, it's not about Christ. It's about their church, their thought process, their dogma. It's dogmatic tradition half the time, or they're, you know, I think one of the things that that he said, that Witcher said from the pulpit, was something to the effect of, you know, politics shouldn't infiltrate the church, but the church should infiltrate politics. And I mean, I think we can all kind of agree that, yeah, we want people that kind of have the same ideology as us representing us. I think that's fair. However, when it switches to the point where politics shouldn't infiltrate the church, well, every word that comes out of most of these preachers' mouths is centered around a Republican agenda. So what's infiltrated what? Who's really caring about who? I don't see it. You know, Dee says that one of the women that was yelling she's actually an RN here locally. Karen says she's a counselor at the high school and she has snacks for the kids. Michelle says we need to have more people from the community attend board meetings so they can see people paying attention. And I think that's key right there, Michelle. As far as making change locally in the community is the fact that if it is the same people over and over again, or if people aren't coming out and getting involved, then the current leadership feels like it's okay to kind of roll their eyes, pretend to listen, and, you know, sweep it under the rug. It's unfortunate. And you know, it's one thing, not to negate it, it's one thing that, you know, it happens from a political spectrum, but now it's affecting our kids. That's it. Not that politics doesn't, but it's right there in the schools. And it's not okay. It's not. And you can't tell me that that's Christianity and that's a good representation of Christ. Not at all. You should be ashamed of themselves. Absolutely, I'm appalled and sickened that as a preacher I get lumped into a category of individuals like that.
And that's a tough situation, because this is why for so many reasons I try to stay away from labels. But it's like the more you get into this political thing, and can't run away from it, because there's a criteria.
Mm-hmm.
You believe in something, but then you believe in something, but then you're expected to act a certain way, but then you don't.
Leaders are, you know, Dee says leaders need to lead, not tear down others, and 110%. But as a leader, you're held to a higher level of accountability. And if you are a leader in a diverse group, you have to be able to lead that diverse group, which means you have to have a level of empathy and compassion for the and understanding for the people that don't think like you, that don't believe like you. You know, if I was acting like these other pastors, like we used to have here in the area, there used to be like a community faith group, right? Like all the preachers would come together and work together until a Muslim imam wanted to become part of it. And then all of a sudden it was a problem, you know, and you know, everybody wanted to be in charge. And, you know, so it kind of imploded on itself. And, you know, Shanika says some of those sketchy pastors want to be God and not serve and teach his word. And that's exactly true. You know, it's about, for a lot of them, it's about control. It's about an agenda. It's not about scripture. In most of the messages they preach, they find a passage of scripture that fits their agenda and they manipulate it and take it out of context so they're able to fit their agenda. When if they really studied scripture, it's like, here's the problem, right? Here's the problem. A lot of people that are mounting pulpits now I'm going to get on my horse now. A lot of people that are mounting pulpits right now, number one, they're in the position based off a dogmatic tradition, not even called to be in the role. That's the first problem. The second problem is when you have an individual that doesn't understand how to truly study and break down scripture, it's called hermeneutics. Most of the preachers in small town churches, they couldn't tell you what hermeneutics was to begin with, most of them. But they don't understand how to break down scripture, how to really study. So they take bits and pieces and take it out of context and make it fit what they want it to fit. And then they teach religious tradition as opposed to scripture. Because the Jesus that oftentimes is represented is a hateful Jesus, unfortunately. And that's not who Christ was.
Can I say something about that?
Of course.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say something about that anyway. The response to people calling this pastor out who interrupted right procedures at the school replied live with an understanding of, he specifically mentioned Romans 1. And for everybody listening here today,
go ahead.
Romans is very easy to read. Romans 1 is very easy to read, but Romans 1 is not the whole picture. You have,
come on, don't
stop. If you're going to take news from scripture, especially Romans, you have to take it as a whole letter to the Romans, because the story of Romans is not Romans 1. No, that's the prequel to what Paul is trying to get across to these people who are not living like Paul wants them to live, or some are, some aren't. But regardless of how they are living, the point of the book is, yes, we have all fallen short. We are all sinners. We are all unrighteous. And if we live by the law, we will be condemned by the law. And what that means to you, to non-Christians, is if we live in unrighteousness, without love and compassion, not living for justice, and that is all we base our lives upon, then we will die and be judged by those things. However, point of Christianity has been removed if you only talk about Romans 1, which is strange that a pastor would just reference Romans 1. But the point of Romans is that we do not live under that law. We do not live under the law. Christ has created a situation. I'm sorry I'm preaching to you. Christ has created a situation where faith in him and God has removed us from being judged by the law. And so that unrighteousness that is spoken of in chapter 1, yes, is claimed to be unrighteousness by Paul. But we do not live under that law. We are not judged under that law here on earth. We are judged based on the love of Christ. And that's it. There is no condemnation. That is the rule. Now, and so I just want to tell you, the preacher was not preaching the word of God by claiming Romans 1 justified his actions. No, I just wanted to clear that up.
Not at all. And it's you have entire churches that are thriving on incorrect doctrine, bad theology. terrible tradition. Like, it's just, it's so frustrating. And like I said, hermeneutics, I mean, you have to, yeah, you are. You got to deal with it, Steve. Just deal with it. You know, it's just because an individual can entertain you from the pulpit, just because an individual can move your emotions from the pulpit, does not mean that that message is coming from Scripture or led of the Spirit, you know. And I don't care what faith you're in, you know. You know, all of us can, you know, when you want to talk about riding emotions, it's pretty much, it's not difficult to manipulate emotions when it comes right down to it. And that doesn't mean it was a powerful service. You know, from a Christian perspective, if I keep going to the same services, the same preacher, and I'm still living the same way, and I'm not making any kind of progression in my life, I might want to find a different preacher to sit under. That's just the reality of it. You know, too many of these churches operate in this, you know, they've forgotten why they even exist. They're more concerned with their tax-exempt status, and they're more concerned with how big their building can be and how many people do they have, and to the point where, you know, if you don't go to their church, you're really not hearing from God. Like, all kinds of foolishness. Or, like, you have a preacher down south that was, you know, after the election, talking about, you know, praying that God curses everybody that voted for Biden, and that they fall under some kind of sickness, and that they lose their jobs. And, like, that's not Christianity, ladies and gentlemen. That's not. That is not what Christianity is supposed to be. And the representation from these local pastors and the way that they're acting and the way that, you know, he acted Tuesday night at the school board meeting, and that is not a representation of Christianity. Just like the individuals that hijacked the planes on 9/11 is not a representation of the entire Muslim community. Like, that is the ignorance to those thought processes are beyond me. I don't understand them.
Yeah, and the point of us talking about this point right here, is to speak to those who have been hurt by this situation throughout the country, throughout the world, that there are people, real people, that do care about you. You. I am a Christian. I care about you. Dax, you're Muslim. I care about you. Even if I didn't know you. But also, I care about the people who are in the LGBTQ+ community.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I care about you, and I love you.
Yes.
And I'm sorry for what happened. Please don't lump everyone into the hate that has occurred in our country pertaining to utilizing the Bible in that particular manner, because it's not who we really are.
It is
who some people are, and hopefully they can change and learn what love really is. But it's not me. It's not me, and I hope everyone hearing can hear that, and they can reach out if they need help in any of those situations.
100% reach out if you. I don't have any of the videos from, you know, what took place. You know, Tuesday. I know some have and some are around, but. You know, it's difficult for me, number one, as a person in this community, to watch so much hate being thrown into the community from a source that it shouldn't come from. Of all the places it's coming from, it definitely shouldn't come from the source it's coming from. You know, so that's the first thing. The second thing, you know, as a preacher, as a minister, it saddens and sickens me that, like I said, that I get lumped into those categories, because I promise you, that's not me. That's not, we wouldn't be talking about this the way we're talking about it if that was me, you know. And like Steve said, you can reach out to us. We want to help, you know, how we can. And, you know, we've definitely tried to, be active in our communities and in various ways, and don't plan on stopping. And, you know, for Dax, Steve, myself, too, that also includes, like, your local, you know, sphere of influence. The people you encounter every day, your neighbors, the people at work, you know, I mean, it starts there. Your own house, your own family. You know, but the fact that some preachers and so-called believers in this area created such a hostile situation is so disheartening. And like Steve said, you know, that's not all of us. And I apologize, you know, for that. And, you know, I am saddened that that's the leadership, you know, that's in the schools, because the kids shouldn't be exposed to that either. You know, just because you pastor a church doesn't mean I'm supporting you. Just because you preach a sermon doesn't mean I'm supporting you. I don't care how charismatic you are. I don't care how big your church is. I don't care how many people like you. I don't care how much money your church has. I don't care if you used to be a cop, you used to be a teacher, I don't care. Just because you slap Christian somewhere in your you know, title, so to speak, does not mean that you got my support. And in all honesty, several quote unquote Christians in this area, preachers in this area, I can't support for things like this. Like, hate should not be, the church should not be a source of any type of hate. I'm sorry. It shouldn't. And I have a problem with that. You know?
Yeah, and just because you believe that your truth is different than someone else's truth.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you as a pastor, sir, at the church that started this or continued it, just because you believe that your truth is different than someone else's truth does not give you the right to treat them any differently than your child yourself.
Exactly.
Okay? Listen to what I just said. You have no right. No right. That's it. Final. God doesn't give you the right. You standing up there doesn't give you the right. Just because you pound on a book doesn't give you the right in any way to negate the blood of Christ or the love that we should be showing each other. That's it. So shut up. That's
exactly.
It. Shut up.
Exactly. Exactly. Final thoughts, gentlemen.
Oh, that was my final thought.
Okay.
Well, if I can add a caveat to that, for those imams that feel the same way, you can go ahead and stop it too. We have a lot of, we have some, and I know that they're out there, they just want to show their faces or you know, be as voice as they want to, but they know who they are. It's sad because the root of Islam, the root word of Islam is Salam. Peace. With peace, it's supposed to be a smooth transition for everything. That's why we say, may Allah make it easy for us to get through this day. We say this every morning, so I don't see why people want to get difficult all of a sudden. Make it easy for us. Yeah? That's all we got to do, just make it easy. And that's the thing that we gotta work on, man. We gotta slow down, because we gotta slow down and actually think about things. We don't think about nothing no more. It's all about hurry up and do, hurry up and do. Don't think, just do. It's kind of like the army nowadays, and it's really sad because you can't even critically think without being judged. And this is what we were taught in school. We're taught critical thinking. What if this happens? What if this? What if that? Can't even think of that no more. Can't even assess a situation. Just do it. That's the wrong way to go. If it has to happen that fast, it should be done at all. Except for the reaction of people that's seeking asylum. That's the only thing I can see. If it's like a family emergency or something dire that concerns people, or not even material. I could care less about material, to be honest with you. A lot of people are going to get real mad at me when I say this. I could care less. This laptop that I'm looking at right now, I could throw it right out the window and not think of anything about it. Nothing. People are the ones that they deserve. It's not just all this materialism that we're dealing with. And all these ideologies that are just making people crumble. That's the thing that I've seen for like the past 5 years, man. It's like, it's just attitudes, material, and constant. constant issues. I want this. I need that. I need you to be over here. I need you to be over there. It's not a need. It's all about wants.
Right.
It's all about wants. And when you want something,
you know,
ain't water, ain't food.
I read something earlier. It said, you know, how do you feel? How did you feel when you found out that hard work wasn't enough to be successful in capitalism? And, you know, you talk about the various ideologies. You know, religion has been used to manipulate people and bully people for years in multiple cultures, not just Christianity, you know, just across the board. But I want to stress that the individuals that have done that and continue to do that are not a representation of what faith actually is. And it's unfortunate that the church in many instances has become a source of hate. But like Steve said, like Dax said, I can assure you that's not what it is. It's not what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a source of love. Love doesn't mean I'm going to agree with you all the time. I don't agree with what Dax believes, faith-based, you know, as far as his faith is concerned. We don't see eye to eye on that, you know. People that live, all, you know, lifestyles that other than my own, I don't necessarily agree with all of them. But that doesn't mean that I don't love them. That doesn't mean that I don't treat them with respect. That doesn't mean that I demean them, degrade them. You know, preach love from the pulpit on Sunday and finish service at noon, and by 1 o'clock you're posting something on Facebook about how if you're a Democrat, you're the, you know, scum of the earth. Like, that's just, it's, that's not what's supposed to take place. You know, first of all, if I want you to believe along the lines I believe, you know, spewing hate at you definitely isn't going to make you come to my side of the, you know, my side of the field. You know, it's
not
so
a good
that's
strategy.
What's that?
It's not a good marketing.
No,
strategy.
It's a terrible marketing strategy. You know, it's stupid. You know, and it's ignorant. And nobody should be treated ill, and demeaned, and degraded, and bullied because they don't think the same way that you do, because they don't believe this, especially a child. You know, and you know what is very difficult for me is the fact that I'm sure there'll be plenty of people sitting in those seats come Sunday. And that's even sadder to me. But again, you know, we are supportive of love and understanding. In love and understanding comes accountability. But at no point does that mean I demean, degrade, or bully you because you don't think and believe how I do. You know, and so please, if anyone, reach out to us. Those of you that were on here, Shanika, Karen, Dee, Xander, my mom was on here, Alex, all you guys. And if I didn't call you out, I apologize. But all you guys that joined us tonight and participated, Michelle, you know, thank you so very much. We appreciate your guys' time. We appreciate y'all listening to us. And, you know, like Steve said, listen, if you can't express love, keep your mouth shut. Just stop.
Just that.
But ladies and gentlemen, we appreciate it. And, you know, just love your neighbor as yourself. And that'll solve a lot of problems. It really will. But we're definitely here. If anyone needs to contact us, message the page, whatever the case may be, we definitely want to be supportive and want to help. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Again, please like, share, follow the page, and we'll catch y'all next week on House Call.
Peace, y'all.
Have a good night, y'all.
All right, fellas.
Yep, yep.
Hey, night, Dax. See you, buddy.
Right now.
No worries, man. Appreciate it.
Good show. Good show.
Keep your head up, man.
Ah, I'm fine.
That was hard, though. I like that. That was hard, though.
That's all it was, yeah. Sometimes, that's why I'm not a preacher. I can't, if I get that passionate about something, I can't speak anymore.
If I was to say something like that, I'd be a radical right now, so I ain't, man. Y'all have a good night.
All right, man. We'll holla at you.
All right, brother.
Yo, yo.
Later.
See you, dude. Yeah, I gotta put my son to bed, buddy. But, yeah, sorry that part took over the conversation, but it just...
No, that's important. That's fine, man.